Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 12. This is Solomon. He's writing to his children, and he says, "My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years, and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything that you produce. Then He will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine." Verse 11, "My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when He corrects you. For the Lord corrects those He loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights." Father, we thank You for this day. We ask that You would help us as we study and navigate this word today from Solomon, and help us to apply it to our lives. And even though there's people in here today that are not fathers, Lord, we ask that You would help this principle to apply to us even in our lives, every single one of us. It's in Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. They say that Mother's Day, more money is spent on Mother's Day than on Father's Day. In fact, last year in 2019, $25 billion was spent on Mother's Day and $16 billion was spent on Father's Day. And a lot of fathers feel like that they're less or important or not as important as mothers. But we're going to look at something right now and some statistics that I found this week that I think speak for themselves as far as the impact that a father has on their family. Number one, a father is impact on a child's intellect. Studies show that children with fathers who were actively involved throughout the first years of their life perform better in cognitive development assessments and demonstrate an increased capacity for curiosity and exploration. Children raised with active dads tend to score higher on verbal and math tests, and less likely to drop out of school or commit juvenile crimes. A father's impact on a child's confidence. By helping kids to understand how much they are valued and loved, children with supportive fathers are more likely to have higher self-esteem and generally are happier and more confident. They also demonstrate a greater tolerance for stress, frustration, and less hesitation. Fear in new circumstances and situations, an increased ability to resist peer pressure and stand for themselves. Number three, a father's impact on a child's respect. Fathers provide a positive male role model for their children and help to promote, reinforce good behavior. As a result, children with more involved fathers tend to have fewer behavioral impulses, control problems, longer attention spans, and higher level of sociability. These children also tend to be more compassionate, more generous, and with an increased awareness of needs and rights for others. A father's impact on a child's perspective. Active fathers have a unique opportunity to share their perspective on life and teach their kids valuable life skills. And the last one is a father's impact on a child's love. Having an active father makes a child feel loved. Having dad as a steady source of love and encouragement helps ensure that children grow up happy and healthy with higher self-esteem. But I want to share a statistic with you that kind of shocked me the first time that I saw it, and it was from the Leadership Promise Keepers Men's Ministry website. And it says this. Josh has a slide for it. It'll show you. The influence of a dad on the family's spiritual journey. If a child comes to Christ first, 3.5% of the family, the rest of the family will follow. If mom comes to Christ first, 17% of families will follow. But this is what blew my mind. If dad comes to Christ first in the family, 93% of the family will follow. Number two, slide number two, Josh, says the influence of dad on church attendance on children's faith. When mom and dad attend church, 72% of children remain faithful to God. When neither parent attends, 6% remain faithful. When only mom attends church, 15% remain faithful. When only dad attends church, 55% remain faithful. Do you see how important it is for a father to be a role model in children's lives? Now, don't get me wrong. Moms, you are super important and very valuable. But in our society today, I feel like that we are lost. And it is because fathers' role in the home and fathers' responsibility in the home has gone away. Non-active fathers that don't teach their children right and wrong goes away. And guess what happens to society when that happens? Everything goes down. But sometimes I find myself wondering, how am I doing as a dad? I guess we could ask Addie how I'm doing as a dad. Am I picking the right battles? Am I picking the right fights? Am I making the right choices? Am I too hard on some things? Am I too soft on other things? Really, Addie? I'm too soft sometimes? Okay. That'll change. You know, I think I focus on it a lot because I want Addie to grow up and know that while her dad was far from perfect, at least I did the best that I could to point her to the perfect Father, her Heavenly Father. And I'm sure that all of us as dads, and even if you're not a dad here this morning, this doesn't exclude you. Because we can all look at our lives and think of the men who might not have actually been our fathers, our biological fathers, but they influenced our lives somehow. And maybe you're like me this morning, and I think we can all relate to this. What do we do when we find ourselves in a place where we don't have the right answers? What do we do as fathers when we don't have the right answers? We fake it. Let's be honest, let's be real. When we don't have answers, sometimes dads, we sometimes fake the right answer 80% of the time, maybe more. But what about when you can't fake the right answer? What about when your faith is put to the test and you have to completely rely on God, not only with your kids, but with your family, with your reputation, your job, your finances, and your life? Maybe you don't have a good relationship with your father. Maybe your relationship with your dad isn't like that at all. Or maybe your father isn't around anymore to bounce ideas off of. But that doesn't mean that you cannot become the father to somebody like that you would love your father to be for you and for your grandkids. In our scripture today, we kind of walk into this thing, this scripture with Solomon, one of the wisest persons. The Bible tells us he was the wisest man that ever lived. King Solomon was the son of David, the boy who killed Goliath. Solomon did not ask God for wealth. He didn't ask Him for power. He asked the Lord for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom too in abundance. In fact, it's documented in historical writings that he was so wise that there were other kings from other countries that would send their advisors to Solomon to ask him questions about how to deal with things in their kingdoms, and then they would go back, take Solomon's advice back to these other kingdoms. And Solomon, he writes Proverbs. If you can read through Proverbs, and you will see it over and over again, he calls when he's writing, he says to his kids, he says, my son, if you're reading in King James or New King James, but he says it is to my children. What I want my children to learn that I have learned throughout my years. And this is what Solomon says. Solomon says, my child, verse number one, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. Now, these are not commands that he's made up or opinions or suggestions. They're commands that the father, Solomon, has learned and gotten from God himself through God's commands. And he's setting them up. He's been teaching his children how to live their lives. And he tells them, don't forget these commands that I'm telling you. If you do this, it's an if-then statement. Verse number two, he says, if you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Now, let me ask you a question. And I thought about this yesterday. How many of you have followed your own plans and ended up miserable and regretting what you did? Put your hand up. If you have followed your own plans and you have, yeah, some of you are like, oh yeah. How many of you have followed your own plans and ended up miserable? Okay. Put your hands down. How many of you have ever followed God's plan and what God wanted and ended up miserable? Now, there's been times where you followed God's plan and it wasn't comfortable. You followed God's plan and you're like, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't see like how it's going to work out. But in the end of it, when you look back, you don't regret following God's plan. Right? You look back on it, you're like, I'm so glad I followed God's plan instead of trusting in myself. He says, verse 3, never let loyalty, I love this, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Solomon is telling his kids, don't just follow God's command just so you can get a reward, just so you can have a long life, but so that you can have a satisfying life. And when you leave your legacy behind, when people think about you when you are dead and gone, what legacy will you leave behind? Because we all know when certain people walk in the room, how our attitudes are because of the way they act, because their kindness is not there, because their loyalty is not there. And when you walk in the room, and the person walks in the room and they say, oh, they're here today. That's to be nice to them today. And if you're not, if you don't have that feeling, maybe it's when you walk in the room, everybody thinks that. Solomon is saying, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck. You know, it's interesting to me that you can pick out the person who is not kind to others. It's real quick that you can pick that person out. They don't have to wear a t-shirt that says, I'm a jerk. They don't have to wear a sign around their neck saying, I am not a loyal person. I'm not a faithful person. I don't do what I say I'm going to do. They don't have to do that because you know them by their character. He writes later on in Proverbs, he says, even a child is known by the actions that he takes. Write them deep within your hearts. And this is where he says, if you do that, verse 4, then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Now Jesus says this exact same thing when he's preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. He's standing there and he says to them, to these people that are listening to him preach, he says, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds, so they may see the things that you do and glorify you. No. So that they may see your good works, your good deeds, and glorify who? God, our Father in heaven. So Jesus is using Solomon's wisdom when he's teaching and preaching. And then in verse 5, we come to one of the most popular scriptures of all scriptures. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We could probably say it together. We could probably all have it memorized. But I want you to listen to it as though you've never heard it before. As a father speaking to his son, to his children, saying this to them, if you forget everything else I say, kids, listen, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Have you ever heard somebody say the phrase, well, just trust your heart? Go with your heart. Go. What does your heart tell you to do? Exactly, John. Jeremiah 12:9. This is Jeremiah speaking straight from the mouth of the Lord, and this is what he says. The human heart is the most deceitful and wicked of all things. But you know what everybody tells you to do? Trust your heart. Oh, just trust your heart. No, your heart is evil and wicked. If you followed your heart, it's going to lead you down a path of destruction, a path of death, a path into sin. Because your heart is evil and wicked apart from God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend upon your own understandings. Do not trust your heart. It is desperately wicked. Who knows about it? Don't trust your feelings. Solomon's telling his children, don't trust the way you feel. Don't trust in your heart. Don't trust in your emotions. Don't put your trust in your job or your family or yourself or your friends, because all of those things will go away. So then what can we trust in? Solomon says it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That word trust means to lean on. To lean into. I trust that this is a sturdy podium, and when my back hurts, you will see me do this. I am showing that I have faith that this thing was made well enough and has lots of brackets on it that it will hold me up. Isn't that funny? Why are you laughing? Steve, you can laugh. It's okay. I am trusting. I am leaning on this thing because I trust it. When you sat down today, you were trusting that that chair was going to hold you up when you sat down. Solomon is saying the exact same thing to his kids. You lean into the Lord with all your heart. What does he mean with all your heart? In their time, they thought the heart ran the body. They didn't realize that all of the brain has connected tissues into the nervous system and it goes into everything. And your heart actually goes off of your brain, what your brain tells your heart to do. And the rest of your body follows along with what your brain says. So Solomon is saying, and they believe this, that the heart literally controlled everything about you. Your decisions, the choices that you made, your emotional path, the decisions that you made. It was all because of your heart. But we know the heart's evil and wicked, so you can't trust your heart. So what can you trust? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It literally means lean on. That your confidence, in the sturdiness that something has, that you put your trust in it. So Solomon is saying, lean on the Lord with every area of your life. Your actions, your words, your future, your attitude, your desires, your motives. Verse 6, seek His will in all you do. So put Him first in everything. Who you're going to marry, where you're going to go to school, what job you're going to have, if you're going to quit the job that you have to go for another job. You put God first in everything that you do. Seek Him first. And He will show you which path to take. I remember when we were in Tennessee, and we had kind of come to a place where the church says, you know, we were living in the parsonage at the time, and they said, you need to be out of the parsonage by this time because we have another pastor that's coming in, and he's going to be living in this parsonage, and we need to get ready for him. And I remember they gave us a date of when we had to be out. You remember that, Andrea? I'd just come from brain surgery, cancer, told her I had cancer, 6 weeks of radiation, 6 weeks of chemo. And I remember when they called me, they didn't say it face to face, they called me and said, hey, you have to be out of the parsonage by this date. And I remember saying to Andrea, I don't think I've ever trusted God more in my life than right now. I don't have a direction. I don't have any certainty about what's going to happen. But I said, I don't think I've ever trusted God more in my life than I do right now. I think it's easy to trust God when everything's going great, when it's all sunshine and rainbows, when there's a full bank account, when all the bills are paid. It's easy to trust God. It's easy, man. You're like, oh, praise the Lord. Trusting in the Lord becomes real when you cannot lean on your own understanding. When things don't look rosy and nice. When you don't have a job and an income and a house. And I remember I said to the Lord, I said, I will do whatever you want me to do. You open the doors and I will walk through it. Now what do you do when God's completely silent? Because He was. He was completely silent. I prayed, didn't hear anything from God. My pastor at the time, James Sproul, met with me for lunch. And he told me, he said, I heard an old preacher say this. Until God opens the door, praise Him in the hallway. Until God opens the door, you praise Him in the hallway. What Solomon is telling his kids is a valuable lesson that each one of us should take this on. Seek God's will in everything you do. Put everything that you are in His will, and He will show you which path to take. Verse 7. He says, do not be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. I learned this was when you're full of yourself, God can't feel you. Dads, when you are full of yourself, God can't feel you. I remember a story of Max Lucado, incredible writer, Christian writer, author, was scheduled to do a book signing at a place in East Texas. And he called the place because he was running late from flight from the airport because it was like a layover flight thing and it was late. And he said, we're late, but we're on our way. And the bookstore person says, oh, it's okay, I'll tell the two people that are here that you're going to be running late. And I don't think that they're going to care. He shows up. This guy's like he's spoken at millions of things with millions of events. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of people come to the altar when he preaches and speaks. Wrote thousands and thousands of books. And he said, when I got to this bookstore to sign these books, there's two people in line waiting for me. He said it was in that moment that God kind of shined a light on me and said, you're not as important as you think you are. He said, okay, God, I get it. I get it. He said, when you are full of yourself, God cannot fill you anymore. You have to empty yourself of you and allow God to fill you. Verse 9, Solomon says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. There was a couple, this last Lent in the church told me that they were going to start double tithing. And it was right before they told me this was when the pandemic hit. Jobs are going downhill. Everything, finances are tight. Everything's tight. Money, things cost a lot more. And the guy told me, he said, when this happened, he said, I looked at my wife and I said, do we still do honor that? Do we still honor God with our double tithe that we said we were going to? And he said that they decided that they were going to do that. They were going to be faithful. They were going to tithe anyways. And God was faithful. And there were several places that they gave them money that they did not expect. And in the end, their bank account was fuller than it would have normally been. Now, this is not your pastor saying, please give tithes and offerings, please give money. What I'm saying to you is, if you trust God with your finances, if you trust Him with what you have, and you give Him the best of what you have, He will bless you. You don't do it because you want the blessing. You do it because it's not your money in the first place. It's not your house in the first place. It's not your car in the first place. Everything that you own, everything that you have, comes from your Father in heaven because He's a good Father and He gives good gifts to His children. This is not a get-rich-quick kind of if you pray, God will bless you kind of thing. No, this is if you're faithful to God, He is faithful to you. Honor the Lord with your wealth. And then the last part he says, here comes the deep water. Are you ready? It's the deep part right here. My child, verse 11. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline. And don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Now, I don't correct my child because I don't love her. In fact, I correct her so she will be a stronger, better person. There's a quote that says, if you spoil your children, you will raise your grandchildren. If you raise your children, you can spoil your grandchildren. Just because, I know there's a lot of parents that want to be the popular parent, that wants to do the popular things and be the cool parent. And it's nice to be the cool, fun dad. But sometimes there has to be discipline that comes for a kid to know what's right and what's wrong. And those are the kids, the ones that don't get that are the ones that are going to be arrested, put it behind bars. And it's all because the parents wanted to be cool parents instead of being strict disciplinarians that they were supposed to be. You don't discipline your kids because you hate them. You discipline them because you love them. I remember the first time Addie started to walk out into a traffic after I was having her said, I told her, so hold my hand. Hold my hand. We're walking across a busy street. And she takes off, and luckily I grab her, pull her back, and I spank that butt. Now you look at the wrong side of that and you say, well, what a jerk. What a mean person. Why would you spank your child? I do that because I love her. Because I don't want her to get run over. Because I'm trying to protect her and teach her what is right, what is wrong. When Dad says stop, I mean stop. Dad's the best thing that you can do as a father is to forget what was or wasn't done for you, but to begin a legacy of putting Jesus first in your home. More than ever, our country needs an army of men in our communities who will pledge their total allegiance to Christ and accept His mission to be the godly example in this godless culture. Let me ask you this. What are you leaning on today? Parents, what are you putting your trust in? And do your kids see you putting your trust in God? Or do your kids see you putting your trust in your job or your finances or in your family and all that kind of thing? What do your kids see you put your faith in and your trust in? I'm calling all of us, especially the fathers that are listening, to lead by example, because there are little eyes that are watching you right now, moms and dads. Imagine what would happen in our community if our kids started seeing fathers committed to loving God when it wasn't popular. What would our church look like if there was a generation of godly men who taught their children what it meant to trust God? Imagine a community where sons and daughters were taught that that God's will came first. What would our homes look like if loyalty and kindness, like Solomon talked about, were written onto our hearts and the hearts of our kids? What would our schools look like? What would the places that we work look like? I believe that there would be revival that would break out in our country, in our community, if godly men stood up for the godly principles and didn't back down when things got hard and when pressure was on. My encouragement to you today, fathers, is do not be a popular dad. Be the one that points your kids to trust in the Lord with all their heart, and to not lean on their own understanding, because that's going to mess them up. If they lean on how they feel day to day, it's going to mess them up. Trust in the Lord with all their heart. Lean not on their own understanding, but in everything that they do, in all their ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct their path. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Dads, may the Lord lift His countenance upon you and bless your home and give you peace. Father, we thank You for this day. I thank You for the fathers that are here. I'm asking, Jesus, that You would bless them this day and that You would help them to see what our country, what we need most of all in our lives right now is not a popular dad. It's not somebody who's cool, but somebody who will put their focus on Christ and teach their children to put their focus on you. We love you today, Father. You are a good Father to us. Help us to go and be the church that you want us to be this week. It's in Christ's powerful name. Amen.